Hello, and welcome to Nintendo Report Connectivity, episode 372, recording live-ish on June 21st. We just had a Nintendo Direct. We're ready to talk about it. I'm Neil Ronahan, and I'm joined by John Raritan, and let's talk some video games.
Howdy, everybody. Well, you can't be excited yet, because that would, that's not in the order of events that things happen in this Direct. We have to start out kind of boring.
Yeah, so June 21st, 2023, Nintendo Direct happened, shifted our plans for the week, but we're here, and we're going to approach this chronologically, largely because I want to make a point. And John, that point is that the first approximately 10 to 11 minutes of this Nintendo Direct were bad.
Yeah, I was I was getting real scared there at the beginning, because It was
they spent 4 minutes on the Pokemon expansion pass, Hidden Treasure of Area Zero,
right, which
Festival
is like
of Masks is coming out in the fall, Blueberry Academy in winter. I adored Scarlet and Violet, and I will likely get these when they come out. Nothing that they have shown me has excited me.
No, and I'm still very much in the realm of like, I look at this and I'm like, those look like cool concepts. Did you fix the base game yet? No? Cool. Yep. I'm not going to give you more money.
Yeah. Like, it's the kind of thing, like, when the Scarlet and Violet DLC comes out, am I going to play it? Yeah, probably. I really enjoyed my time with Scarlet and Violet. I had a unicorn playthrough without many glitches. But maybe I'm old-fashioned. Call me old-fashioned. But I don't need to see 4 minutes at the start of a Nintendo Direct with minimal new information.
Yeah, normally,
or at least
the first
new information that is exciting to the majority of the audience.
Yeah, well, and normally, like, when you start a Nintendo Direct, normally that's your moment to kind of like come out the gate hitting. Then you slow it down, and then you end with something big,
set the tone.
And they had stuff to do that, but they didn't do that.
Yeah, it was just like, it was a very bad pacing. And yeah. I have gone on record that the February Nintendo Direct was maybe my favorite of all time.
I think I probably agree with you.
Yeah, or at least favorite in recent memory, at a minimum. Favorite of the Switch era might be the case. But
yeah,
this started off rough, and it's not like some of the games that they showed aren't like Sonic Superstars. Cool. Persona 5 Tactica. We talked about that last week. I think that game looks neat. There was, I guess, a little bit of new information, but
kinda. I mean,
a lot of that stuff was already kind of shown like 2 weeks ago.
Right. The start of this show felt like, did they know that that stuff had already been announced? Because like,
and maybe they didn't.
If it hadn't, you know, if Xbox and Summer Games Fest hadn't happened, then yeah, Sonic Superstars and Persona 5 Tactica would have been a pretty strong opening few games.
Free to play life sim.
Yes.
Cool.
Yes.
That's not even at the end of Palia, I think that's the name of the game.
Yeah.
That is holiday 2023. I thought it when they were like free to play life sim and it's available now, and they're like, and it will be available in the next 6 months ish.
Right. Why are we even giving this an announcement in the and that's why I started to get nervous, because I'm like, boy, we are three things into this and it feels like we're scrounging. Like, why is this here? How much money did Palia give to Nintendo to have this much screen time at this Direct?
Yeah, and then we had Myth Force from Aspyre, customary fuck Aspyre for what they did with the KOTOR 2 DLC.
I will say probably the most interesting thing that at this point in the Direct, I'm like, it's Aspyre. That's too bad. But like, honestly, that's the high point going at this point.
Developed by Beamdog, who what's their like? Did they do M2? I feel like they did. They did some good ports of stuff.
Sure.
But like, yeah, that looked neat. But fuck Aspyre. I'm not on board.
Well, as long as they don't promise to give you any DLC at an unspecified date in the future.
I do like your note on the NWR, the Google Doc that we use just to track to see games as they're announced. Splatoon trash.
I honestly, this was when I like went and got a snack, because I don't care.
It bums me out. It bums me out how much I didn't enjoy my time playing Splatoon 3. I wish I could play it online, but the game kept on disconnecting me from matches.
Yeah. Yeah, I just can't stir up any interest in any Splatoon. Especially, this wasn't even an interesting Splatoon announcement. It was just an announcement that they were going to do another Splatfest, which is like, not that's a tweet. Like, that doesn't need to be here. And it wasn't even, it's like a Splatfest in a few months. Like, it wasn't even like super soon.
And then we actually get to something at least interesting.
Yeah.
Detective Pikachu Returns, due out on October 6th. Just for the record, this happened about 10 minutes into the show that we had something that is good, or at least newsy. Well,
yeah.
But Detective Pikachu Returns, the long awaited. Did we ever get confirmation if it's a sequel?
I've only played the beginning of this game on 3DS. I'm not 100% confident it's a different game. Like, and it doesn't help that this looks an awful lot like the 3DS version running in emulation in HD. Like, I pulled up, tweeted earlier today a screenshot of the 3DS one and of this one, and outside of the difference in resolution, it looks the same. Is this a new game? Are there any like massive Detective Pikachu fans who can confirm to us that the scenes in this trailer were not from the first game? Because I don't know. Also, the PR was like, discover the origins of Detective Pikachu. I'm like, wasn't the first game the origins of Detective Pikachu? Like, that's he met the kid in that one. Is this that? Like, I don't know what this game is. And it's like, it looking kind of ugly is a disappointment, because like the first Detective Pikachu, like, I didn't think it was great, but like on a technical level, it was a very good looking 3DS game. It ran great, and like really like high detail character models, and for a 3DS game looked really good. But what looks great on a 3DS at 240p does not look great untouched on the Switch at 1080p. And it looks so bad.
Serebii.net, the information that they have on their site, I trust Serebii.
Yeah,
for Pokemon information, it's fully revealed to come out on October 6th, 2023, and features the continuation of the story with Tim and Pikachu working together to solve mysteries in Rhyme City.
Okay.
So it looks like it continues this, like, from the first game.
I wonder if this at one point like was a 3DS game, like a really late 3DS game, and then they were abandoned ship, and then like it took a long time to port to Switch.
The first game was I like the idea of it. I think the movie was the best thing to come out of this concept. The giant ass amiibo is really cool.
The movie is delightful. I will say, given that this has the technical profile of a 3DS game, it's surprising to me that the trailer was dropping frames. Who made the first Detective Pikachu?
I think it was internal. I think it was Creatures.
Oh, okay.
Part of the Pokemon company, Triad.
How did Pokemon Snap escape the Pokemon curse of it has to look and run poorly?
It was made by Bandai Namco.
Okay, cool. They should have Bandai Namco make more Pokemon stuff. Because, like, holy crap, can the Pokemon company not make... It'd be one thing if they ran well and just looked ugly, but they look ugly and run like shit. And I don't get it. This is the most successful franchise in the world.
When we come back to Shinya Takahashi and Yoshiaki Koizumi, I forget which one of them says it, but they just, like, go, like, looks like he still loves coffee.
He does. Can confirm. He still loves coffee.
So I have in my notes 11 minutes and 45 seconds. I ascended.
I'm happy for you.
Groaned. So they are remaking Super Mario RPG. It is coming out on November 17th. This is a game that I kind of ruminated on recently and was just like, yeah, I think this is my favorite game of all time. And I will caveat that by it is not the best game of all time.
Sure, your favorite and the best my are favorite. Two different things. Yeah.
Like, I had a former Connectivity host, Adam Abu Nasser, he asked me on Twitter, he's like, I've never played it, should I play it? And I'm like, it is my nostalgic favorite game of all time. Your mileage may vary.
Right. Yeah.
Like, I this mean, is,
it seems like the Switch version will be a good way to try playing it. Hopefully there's some nice, like, quality of life stuff and things like that.
Yeah, I think there, I mean, like, I find a charm in the visuals, but, like, man, they haven't aged that well. Like, I cannot fight that. I like the application of taking how the original was on Super Nintendo and, like, mapping it to what they're doing on Switch. I will say, I don't think I totally love the art style. I think it is the total package of that game, the sound effects, the score, but the visuals, I'm kind of like, this is fine, but I'm not, like, jumping for joy.
Of the Super Nintendo one, or specifically of the remake? Or both,
of the remake. Just, okay. Like, the kind of, like, the almost chibi, like, it's like childlike art style. Like, it looks like an off-model Mario World.
Yes,
not off model Mario World, the game, off Mario.
Well,
off
that,
Mario
so that's,
model.
that's how I've always felt about the Super Nintendo one too. And so I'll clarify that I think the fact that they are clearly going out of their way to, like, kind of try to preserve the artistic intent of the original game is awesome. Like, I don't like the artistic intent of the original game, but I appreciate what they're doing.
So there are two things that I came across on Twitter. I do not have the original posters on, like, the people who posted it on hand. One of them was that the scene of Booster near the end of the trailer, they even replicated, like, Booster's got a bunch of stuff. There's, like, a Samus figure, Discoon.
Yes, I did see that.
And like, that is something that is, even if you know what you're looking at, it is hard to tell on the you know, Vaseline Super Nintendo version, but they have that replicated in the remake, and it's clear, and you see Samus. It is very evident that that's a Samus toy that Booster has. There's also another thing where what is it that they changed how Peach's castle looked, and it's different from how it looked in the original game. However, it is mapped to how Peach's castle looked like on the world map of the game.
Oh, weird. Okay.
So still do not know who is making this, which is a big X factor.
We are actively trying to find out.
Yeah. And maybe by the time you hear this, it'll be known. But, like, that is a huge X factor for me. Like, if Yoko Shimomura is not involved with the music, I will burn everybody working this game.
I want
to
say I saw
I have a feeling she is.
I was going to say, I want to say I saw something about that, and I was pretty sure she was.
Yeah. Like, I mean, it's the kind of thing where, like, she still is involved.
Yeah.
Seems friendly with everybody. Like, it's not like she's, like, disappeared and people hate working with her. But. Yeah, there's definitely a little bit about, like, my confidence level will go up depending on who's making this game. This is something that I am both very excited and also terrified about, because they could totally ruin a game that I love. Someone mentioned to me that they're like, oh, it looks like Link's Awakening. And I'm like, oh, no, don't say that, please, God.
I will say it doesn't have. I assume that just it looks like Link's Awakening, and that it's sort of an isometric, everybody looks like plastic toys thing. It doesn't have any of the what we can now recognize, thanks to the commonality of Pikmin 4, Nintendo's Telltale Unreal Engine signs, which is, like, way overuse of every depth of field button they have. I think we saw that in Yoshi's Crafted World, too. Like, just everything's out of focus.
Although I think Yoshi's Crafted World is a really good game.
It's a great game. It's just it's another Unreal Engine game. I think, you know, technically what we've seen of it, I don't super like the art, but it technically looks very competent.
I have not gone full analysis mode on this, but I did notice it looks like there's some kind of tweaking to the battle system. Like, the timed attacks are still there, but it looks like there's a combo system and also some kind of percentage meter that I don't think they're gonna do that much to this, but I could say, I mean, it's the kind of thing where the battle system that the Super Nintendo game employs is very much like, it might not be the very first game to have it, but it's definitely maybe the biggest game to have it first, of timed button attacks. For, and like, that's something that, like, over the past 25 plus years has come a long way. So mm-hmm. if they were going to update anything for this remake, maybe tweaking that battle system is a great idea.
I agree with that. Yeah.
My guess is that I think that the combo stuff just might make it a little bit more, you know, maybe not overcomplicating it, but like making it a little bit more than just like button timing. And that percentage meter looks like it's building up to some kind of special attack that's probably like a, you know, an add-on boost for different things.
Yeah, they didn't really say anything in this trailer as far as like, will there be a lot of stuff beyond what was like, is this just a, you know, a Metroid Prime remastered thing where it's like, this is the original game, it looks prettier, or will they be adding stuff onto it? It'll be interesting to see. I'm really interested to know who's working on it. Maybe what the rights negotiations were for this. I have a lot of questions about it.
Because I mean, it's a weird chance game. That's Square Enix could be working on it. Like,
yeah.
And I mean, a handful of the original developers, like, they're still around. They were some of the core guys worked on Super Mario RPG back in the day were at Alpha Dream.
There you go.
So, I mean, those dudes didn't have a company to work for anymore. It could be something where maybe it's like some of those core players from the original game are leading some new team or some other team. And honestly, like, that's fine with me. It's just more like, and I'm encouraged by what I've seen. I'm going to be hypercritical of this despite being very excited for it, because this is a game that is extremely important to me.
Oh, of course. Yeah, it would be like, I mean, it's great that it's getting a remake, but it is one of it's like remaking Super Metroid or something where.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Yes, remake it, but be aware that there are fans who will not just be like, cool, it's a remake. Like, they're going to. Yep. Hold you accountable for this game.
Yeah. So they, and this is where the pacing comes into play, is that like you had those like first like 10, 11 minutes that were kind of like meh. And then they just rattle off just like banger after banger for a couple minutes where.
And I would also say Mario RPG would have made a killer opening.
Yeah.
Like if the presentation just opened panning down on Peach and then it transitions to the remake, like that would have been fantastic opening. But instead, we're 15 minutes in and suddenly there's a direct happening.
Yeah. After the Mario stuff, I feel like this was a little bit to say that there was like it's almost like Nintendo being like, did you like the Mario movie? Did you like Mario, Luigi and Peach in it? Well, guess what? There's a game for all of them.
And this part did also. So for one, like, you know, as not a Mario RPG fan, that wasn't. I was like, cool, but not super excited. And these next two things kind of sent me into this mode of going, oh, maybe I should still be worried, even though I'm seeing new things, purely because of their release dates.
Yeah. So at this point, we had an October game, Detective Pikachu Returns, a November game, Super Mario RPG. Also comical. It is just Super Mario RPG. They are not. There is no other name. It's just
I kind of hate that, but
yeah, Super Mario RPG parentheses 2023.
Yeah. Yeah.
They showed off a Peach game that honestly looks pretty cool. Looks like it's got some kind of theatrical gimmick and changes into different outfits. A little nervous based on prior Princess Peach games, where Super Princess Peach on DS, which if you play the gameplay is good. The setup that, like, she's very emotional and her powers come from when she cries and is mad.
Yeah. I don't know if you know this about Princess Peach, but she is a woman.
Yeah.
Yep. That's the plot.
But that game looks cool. Curious to see who's working on that one, too. I think I saw some people thinking it's good feel, but I don't think so. I mean,
maybe, good feel seems like
they're gone. Yeah.
Yeah, it's one of those things where, like, sure, it could be. I mean, it could be Activision Blizzard, but, like, what are you basing that off of?
Yeah, and then Luigi's Mansion 2 HD, due out in 2024 as well.
Great.
Cool.
But yeah, both of these, well, in the Peach one especially, where it was like, we're making a game about Peach. We have one shot to show you, and it has no title. and it's we have no release date. I suddenly had this flashback to like, oh man, Yoshi's Woolly World, like this moment of just like, what, why is this being announced? Why are we so desperate for things that we're having to reach into this game that is clearly not ready to be shown?
I do have to say, you can look back to, it might be the, so what game was it? Kirby Star Allies? No, it might have been Kirby and the Rainbow Curse.
Yeah,
but there was like some E3 where the signage for the game just said like Kirby on Wii or something like that, and it was because this, literally like the day before the direct or whatever, like when they announced it, where they did have the name was not like, they did not like have the name finalized, so all the signage that they had for the event just said like, you know, Kirby game on Switch or like Kirby something like that. It could be the case that they just don't have the name like through legal yet. I don't think that necessarily, I mean, we saw a decent amount of the game. There was footage running. But just like, we saw footage running. I don't think the lack of a name is making or breaking whether like this game's like, oh, it's gonna get pushed to 2025. I believe even with Yoshi's Crafted World, I think that was a game, it was either that or Kirby Star Allies, where when that game was first shown, it was just like the Yoshi game on Switch.
Yeah.
And I guess in Yoshi's Crafted World's case, like, I think that did get a little delayed. But I don't think it was because they hadn't finished the name yet.
Yeah, I just feel like if they were really ready to show this and it was just that the name wasn't quite ready, we would have got like a temporary name and then a longer trailer. Like,
yeah,
but this, it, to me, it sure felt like this is all we have of this that's even slightly showable. I could be
wrong. It is like a weird, I mean, it is kind of a weird thing that, I mean, I feel like it's probably Mario Movie, you know, riding that wave of being like, oh, did you like this character in the movie? There's a game for you.
Yeah, maybe they were caught off guard and they were like, we have to show this Peach game.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
So then after that solid run, and I think now at this point we're like 15 plus minutes into the direct.
Yeah.
Then we get another set of headlines. Once again, like, I'll play Batman Arkham Trilogy.
I'm
pretty
curious
excited for
about...
that. I haven't played those games in a very long time.
Well, I'm very curious about Arkham Knight, because that was an Xbox One and PS4 game, unlike the first two Arkham games.
True.
This is being ported by the guys that did the Borderlands games on Switch and Tony Hawk Pro Skater.
It was a good port.
Yeah, they had some other stuff. I looked them up earlier and they had some other stuff that was a bit more questionable, but I can't remember what it was. So they're kind of like a middle of the road, like kind of seems like it could go either way. I'm pretty confident that the first two Arkham games will no problem there. Second one ran on Wii U. Okay. So like, I'm sure that's fine. but I'm very curious about Arkham Knight, cause that's a pretty game. So that'll be interesting to see.
Confidence level in the ports go down as you go further into that trilogy. Yep. But that first game is real good.
It'd be funny if the trilogy was Arkham Asylum, Arkham City, and Arkham Origins. Like, they were like, what trilogy do you think we mean?
Then Gloomhaven. That's neat.
Sure. Board game.
Silent Hope is an XSEED game.
Sure.
It's just,
Yep.
I did. Filler. Did you see the quote from Yves Guillemot? About Mario and Rabbids, where he made a comment that Nintendo said he should hold it, or that they should hold it for the next system, and they were like, nah.
Yeah, and he was just like, yeah, Nintendo was right.
Yeah,
that was so, I saw that quote pop up the other day, and that was so strange to just see him be like, yep, Nintendo said that this would probably bomb, and then it did. So that's neat. Okay, Yves. Weird.
Yeah, it's weird because I enjoyed playing Sparks of Hope. I don't know if I really care to check it. Well, this isn't even the Rayman DLC. It's just other crap. Okay, yeah, I don't care.
Isn't this the Rayman DLC? I'll be honest, I tuned out.
I thought it was the Rayman DLC, but I don't think it is.
Because didn't they label it as the final DLC?
Maybe. No, I need to check the press
release. We don't know. We didn't watch the... Well, I literally didn't watch the Direct, and I was kind of watching... But listen, I was... So, behind the scenes, this Direct got announced, and everybody on staff was like, oh, we're all at work.
Yeah.
So it was just me, and, like, Jordan showed up, and that was awesome. But yeah, if I saw something where I'm like, this doesn't matter, I'm not writing up this story, diligent note-taking was not done on that stuff. So,
it is the second of three.
Oh, okay.
The Last Spark Hunter.
That's too much DLC for a game that didn't sell.
Go to a musical planet filled with new areas to explore, new enemies to battle. Discover the wonders and dangers that await you in this world of melodies.
Cool.
So that sounds fun. It's just a weird thing that like I did not finish Sparks of Hope. I think on the third planet or something like that. Had a real good time with it. It was fine.
Yeah. I still haven't. One of these days I'll buy it. It's on the backlog.
That's like one of these days I'll play Bayonetta 3.
I should finish that.
Yeah. Someday.
I didn't think it was that good.
Dragon Quest Monsters, that looks pretty cool.
Neat. Yeah.
Yeah. It's cool that I thought that series might be going the way of the dinosaur after Dragon Quest Treasures last year, but it looks like they're kind of, you know, keep on doing the thing.
Yeah.
And then we got to Pikmin 4. Pikmin 4 looks incredible.
This game looks so... I mean, it looks like a good game, but then, like, on a technical nerd level, holy crap, this game looks beautiful. Like, every time I see this, I'm like, that... you look at this and you look at Detective Pikachu and you just go, what's happening? Why?
And I mean, they've both, you know, been in development for like a decade.
Right. Well, and you know, Pikmin has to have a budget of roughly $10 based on what they expect Pikmin games to sell. And Pikachu, I assume, is just a blank check. And somehow, like, Pikmin comes out looking like one of the prettiest games on the platform. And Detective Pikachu is like, just use the 3DS assets. That's fine.
It's yeah, like Pikmin's, so weird. Pikmin's budget is like based on like Miyamoto's residuals from the Mario movie. Like,
right. Right.
They had the contract where he's like, all right, well, I'll do the movie and I'll take this cut. And
yep. Everything else goes take to
out
Pikmin.
Take my cut out to pay for Pikmin.
We do know that this is Unreal Engine now. Same engine as Link's Awakening, which makes me like, obviously a totally different team.
Yeah.
If they can make the engine sing for this one and actually have it run well, then this will easily be one of the best looking games on Switch. And every time I see it, it looks great. The new camera angle just looks so much more immersive.
We like dunked on Miyamoto for being like, oh, it's got a new camera angle. But like, he was right.
That's great. I'm super jazzed for this. And it's getting a demo on June 28th.
Next week.
Yeah.
This time next week, we'll be playing a demo for Pikmin 4. And if you want to, you can play Pikmin 1 and 2 right now on your Switch, which I feel like after shit-talking Pikmin 2, I should probably replay Pikmin 2.
Right.
Just to be like, okay, no, I was wrong. I was just trying to pump up. I was trying to inflate, my boys at Arzest saying, hey, Pikmin was good.
Well, we have been informed by Justin that Pikmin 2 is his favorite Pikmin.
That means it's terrible.
I would agree. I think Matt replied to that and was like, I get liking it more than one. Liking it more than three is impressive. And I would agree with that. I think three is just like there's no contest there.
Yeah, three is an incredible amalgamation of the best parts of Pikmin 1 and 2.
Yep. Yeah.
And Pikmin 4, like boy, oh boy, does that game look good.
Very excited.
And then got two announcements in a row that excite me, even if they're maybe a little expected. Although, Metal Gear Solid Master Collection Volume 1. The fact that this Volume 1 seems like a threat. So it is Metal Gear Solid 1, 2, and 3. I'm not well versed enough in the world of Metal Gear Solid to know like what versions these might be based off of.
It
does not look like Twin Snakes.
No, Metal Gear Solid 1 looked like a PS1 version.
Yeah, and 2 and 3, I can't tell if they're based off. I know there were HD re-releases of those at some point.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Unfortunately, we're also not getting the 3DS version, which, you know, obviously, yeah, objectively, or the Twin best Snakes, one.
Yeah, give us the Nintendo exclusive versions for this, please.
Well, that comes
so
later.
Metal Gear Solid 2 is just blank. Mm-hmm. But so we're getting all three of those games where when this got announced, I think it was at the PlayStation thing. I was hoping it would come to Switch because I am the weirdo that never really clicked with Metal Gear Solid 3. But I think the first two are really good.
Yeah, I think I've tried every Metal Gear Solid except for 4. And 5 is the only one where I thought, okay, I could see myself playing more of this. I thought all of the other ones were terrible.
I think 1 is fun. Like, 1, I feel like 1, some comparison to Arkham Asylum with that, actually, because it is just like you're in one area. It's pretty condensed. Yeah. Like, I think Arkham Asylum is the better game, even if I would say both games are hugely influential in their eras. And 1 is just like a really tight, compact stealth game. And I think it's very fun. My affinity for 2 is that it is one of the greatest all time fuck yous in video game sequel history. And
yeah,
it is. There are a lot of things about Hideo Kojima that I do not really care for. But what he did with Metal Gear Solid 2 is I'll be real. Metal Gear Solid 2, despite the fact that I like it, maybe it's not the best game. But boy, balls of steel on that one. Like marketing a game and being like, psych, you don't play as the player that you thought you were.
Yeah.
And just a lot of really good meta stuff. And 3 is a game that, I mean, as you said, with the other Metal Gear Solid games, every time it comes out in some form, I usually wind up trying it again. And I've never clicked with it. I do like the story of that is really cool. Like a lot of the stuff that game does is neat. I've just never really enjoyed playing it.
Yep. Yeah, I've tried multiple times and just couldn't. It was also, I think also the problem with that one is like, well, of the first 3 really was that they were always pitched to me as, I really like the Splinter Cell series. And I had a lot of friends who were like, if you like Splinter Cell, you'll love Metal Gear Solid. And I was No, I do not. Like that's a very different thing.
That would be like, you like Mario, ergo you must like 2D Metroid.
Right. Yes, they like, do both. Yes, they both involve a jump. Sneaky boy. Like that's, but they're not the same. Yeah.
But this got a release date of October 24th. It also, at least the collection, because you can buy each of the 3 games separately.
Yeah.
The collection comes with Metal Gear 1 and 2 on MSX, as well as Metal Gear 1 and Snake's Revenge on NES.
Yes. Which,
as a person who likes old games being accessible, that's awesome. I will never play any of those games.
Nope. But like, good job.
Yeah, I've played some of them before. I've not gotten very far in them.
I've played the first one on NES. It's not good, but I played it.
I feel like the MSX games I might have played in some sort of collection over the years. I know I definitely played the first one and Snake's Revenge on an NES at some point in my life.
Yeah.
Vampire Survivors. That was the other game that I referenced when I said it's a game that I think is a little expected but exciting. Played Vampire Survivors a bunch on my Steam Deck. Should I double dip? No. Will I? Yes.
I mean, I played it on Xbox when it came out there, and then they released a mobile version, which was how I was playing the Xbox version. I've never played it on my actual Xbox. I only played it via the cloud on my phone.
I did play it on Xbox, just because it was a part of Game Pass.
Yeah, they then released an actual mobile version, and then I played that. It's a great game, very addictive.
Yeah.
The update to do local multiplayer, great. A great game. It'll good fit for Switch. Well done, Vampire Survivors.
Yeah, yeah. It is. It is something where like it just is such a good, like, endorphin pushing yep. game. You just yep. hang out, you try to dodge some stuff, see some meters go up. Just really smartly made. I love the achievement system, love the unlockable characters, love the different weapons. August 17th.
Yeah.
Do you have anything from the well, before we get to, I guess, like the last two
sure.
big Nintendo announcements, Penny's big breakaway. I saw this trailer and I'm like, oh, this could be good. And then I heard that it's by the Sonic Mania developers.
Yep. And I mean, Sega wasn't using them, so.
Yeah.
No, but,
it looks really neat.
I like 3D platformers. I don't think Sonic Mania was good, but I think it was significantly better than any other 2D Sonic. And I'm very interested to see what these guys can do with. I mean, it's obviously a very heavily Sega inspired 3D platformer,
yeah.
Which are terrible. So I'm very interested to see what these guys can do with that, because it's once again, like Sonic, there's some great ideas that I don't think have ever really been executed on that well. So I'm super interested in this. It looks really cool.
So the one thing is that, like, knowing, Evening Star, I think that's the name of the,
yeah,
I'm probably getting it wrong. I think that's the name of the developer. This is being put out by 2K's private division label.
Mm-hmm.
But like the thing that is notable about the headcanon or whatever the Sonic, yeah, I think it's Evening Star is what they go by now. They're very good at getting the right physics engine. Like, mm-hmm. I did like seeing the tweet from Christian Whitehead that, like, he looked at the Sonic Superstars footage and was like, yeah, I got the physics right.
Yeah.
So that is the thing that, like, it's a very important aspect of platformers, both 2D and 3D. So if they have that kind of foundation, like, you got me in the door. Like, I'm not saying I'm, like, all the way there, but, like, I will pay attention to this game as it comes out. Like, there's a bare minimum competency that I feel like is safe to project for this game.
Yep. Yeah. I'm super interested in it.
Star Ocean, Second Story R.
That looks neat.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
That looks so that first game. I think I've played Star Ocean games before. I reviewed the first Star Ocean that came out on Switch a couple years ago.
Yeah.
It's a really, really neat, like, Tales-ish game,
mm-hmm.
but it was based on, I believe, a PSP or a Vita remake of the Super Nintendo game, and it was like, you know, they did some upgrades, but if memory serves, it was more like, oh, this is a PSP or Vita game, you know, jazzed up a little bit for HD.
Sure.
Star Ocean Second Story R, which now I'm going to make sure that there isn't, like, it just looks like they did a lot more work on this game. And
yeah.
Like, the backgrounds look really cool. It's the kind of thing that, like, it looks HD 2D-esque, but not, like, it's like how the Suikoden remakes
right.
look.
I mean,
where,
it looks
like
that in the same way that Xenogears looks like an HD 2D game. Like,
yeah,
it has
yeah.
2D sprites in a 3D environment. And I guess there's some bloom, but
yeah.
it doesn't have the telltale look of HD 2D that they're so attached to. Yeah, this looks great. The only Star Ocean game I've played is the most recent one. Well, no, I played the one before that as well. But the Divine Force, I think, is the most recent one. I haven't finished it, but I've liked what I've played so far. And I'm casually interested in this. I haven't played any of the older games.
Okay, so I'm looking this up now.
Okay.
So Star Ocean, what was it originally called? Star Ocean, the Second Story. It came out 1998 and 2000 in different regions. PS1 game.
Yeah.
There was a version called Second Evolution that came out PSP 2009. In Japan, it came out on PlayStation 3, 4, and Vita in 2015.
Oh. Okay.
As far as I can tell, this is a brand new remake.
Interesting.
Because, yeah, Second Evolution is a, quote, enhanced remaster. Yeah, that's fascinating. That this is essentially, like, another another remake of a game that was already remade.
Interesting.
But I'm, very excited for this. It looks great.
I'll also throw out there that they announced Wave 5 of the Mario Kart DLC. They're really bad at shadow dropping Mario Kart DLC. Every time it comes up in like a direct or something, I feel like, oh, surely this will come out today. And it like never does. And this one didn't even have a date. It was just like summer. Like just drop it.
PD Piranha from Mario Kart Double Dash, Wiggler from Mario Kart 7, and Kamek from Mario Kart Tour.
Do you get nervous every time Nintendo has to type out the word Wiggler? Because I do. Concentrate.
You know what's awesome? The Mario Kart 8 DLC. You know what's really funny? I've had two conversations with people in the past couple weeks where they've been like, man, I really wish Birdo was playable in Mario Kart 8.
People demand it.
I'm just like, Birdo's been playable in Mario Kart 8 for like 4 months. it's just a testament that like Nintendo doubled the amount of races in Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, and I feel like they're still having trouble communicating that to people.
Not everybody Switch owners sit around watching Nintendo Directs,
it is funny that like I within a 2 week span I've had two separate conversations with people where they've been like, man, it'd be great if Birdo was playable this game.
I mean, at least you get to have the experience of just like making their wildest dreams come true. Yeah, like, listen, I'll talk to my guys and we'll see what we can do. And then come back the next day and be like, Birdo's
in.
How
this went down? Me helping that person go onto the eShop, finding out how to download the stupid thing that they've had available to download for literal like a year.
Did this person already have the NSO subscription?
Yes.
Good. Good. Yeah. Get your free stuff.
Yeah. But it's like, I mean, because it's arcane. Because, like, you have to go to the Mario Kart 8 page and be like, that. Like, it's not intuitive at all.
I mean, whenever one of them comes out, it pops up in that news section when you turn on your Switch going like, look, Birdo's here.
Who looks at that?
Oh,
how
do you stay up to date on the latest? Mine's really exciting because you never know which region it's going to give you. And so it's like, ooh, today's an Australia kind of day.
Yep. Yeah. I'll be like, it looks like it's Japan just updated.
Yep. Yep.
I want to know the metrics, Nintendo. You're never going to tell us them because they're probably horrifying how many people actually engage with the newsfeed. Because I have talked to people where they're like, I know, I keep up with it. But it is absolutely useless if you have multiple regions on one system.
There's some great copy in that newsfeed.
Yeah.
The people who do that know that nobody is reading it, and they have some fun in there. So I highly recommend reading those stories.
So talking about pacing, like I think the Mario Trinity that was revealed, you know, about 10 to 15 minutes in, I'd say the rest, it's fine. Like, you got Pikmin 1 and 2 shadow drops. You got some cool new announcements. Ended on some bangers. I mean, even if you extend it to Star Ocean and Mario Kart 8 DLC being right before these, WarioWare Move It is coming out on November 3rd.
Did the last WarioWare do well?
I liked Joe DeVader's tweet that was, they finally made a WarioWare game for Switch.
Yeah.
Because Get It Together is awful.
Yeah.
Like,
how long ago was Get It Together?
2021.
That's a pretty quick turnaround.
So
For a modern AAA HD game like WarioWare.
Well, keep this in mind. Get It Together might have been a game that was close to being finished and they held it back because COVID cocked up the release schedule.
Oh, like you think that they may have already started on this one before that?
Get It Together. I think that like this is with no intel on this other than knowing that like things got the plan for 2020 was altered. I wouldn't be shocked if, like, Get It Together, like, could have come out in 2020 if COVID didn't, in the alternate world. And it could be that, you know, 3-year dev cycle for a WarioWare game, two to three year dev cycle, like that seems in the realm of possibility, even in the HD world. I am curious why, like, they did, or maybe there was some logic in Get It Together is meant to be, like, for every system, whereas Smooth Moves 2, WarioWare Move It, is, like, you need to have Joy-Con.
It looks
great. Like, the multiplayer experience of WarioWare Smooth Moves is a top 5 experience on Wii. Like, the one with the falling angels and that, like, many a college party was delight by playing that game. And it looks like that same spirit and energy is coursing through the veins of this video game.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it looks, I mean, I'm not super into WarioWare, but this looks better than the last thing. I'm in a continuous state of wishing this wasn't the element of Wario games that had survived.
I do agree in that, like, I wish, or at least I wish there was a balance. Some of the WarioWare games I think are fantastic, like Twisted's great, the original on GBA is just like a delightful little thing. But this Wario Land game is real good too. Wario Land Shake It, all timer, man.
Yep. Would love a HD port of that.
Yeah, WarioWare Move It is a video game that I look forward to playing with my child. Or children. Children, I forgot I got two of them.
I'd always forgetting. It's because Neil likes one of them significantly more than the other. And so,
well, there's one that's 5 and will be like almost 5.5 when this game comes out. So, like, he'll be into this.
An adult. The
one who's 2.5 will still probably not totally comprehend how to play WarioWare Smooth Moves. Or WarioWare. I should bust out Smooth Moves to be like, do you understand this? Can you put this to your nose and pretend to be an elephant? You are ready now. You are ready now to shake. Are you going to get the Zelda and Ganondorf amiibo?
No. Well, maybe Ganondorf. He's just so hot.
I don't
really buy amiibo anymore. Like, I kind of stopped buying amiibo.
I get Zelda amiibo. Like, yeah. So I will get both of these. I will say I kind of don't like how they both got, like, sticks up their ass.
That's Zelda tradition.
Yeah, I did. I lent P Rope Link to my buddy at the farmer's market.
Like most farmer's market attendees, Neil just carries around P Leg Link. I have with him everywhere he goes.
He makes very good salsa. He gives me the hookup. And when I went there at the start of farmer's market season, we just talked about Tears of the Kingdom for half an hour. And I mentioned something about amiibo, and he's just like, yo, man, I want a Pona. And I'm like, I can hook you up. But I did, I just kept on referring to it as P Rope Link. And my wife was like, what the hell are you talking about? I'm like, look at it. It's yellow.
Listen, that first round of Amiibo, it was a different time where they were like, what color should we make the really obvious stand? I don't know, piss green? Perfect.
What's the cheapest plastic we could find?
What plastic does nobody else want? We gotta
get the ROI. It's the Wii U era. We got market competitiveness, fellas.
It matches his tunic. Okay.
So the last game coming out on October 20th is Super Mario Brothers Wonder. So my experience with this is, by the time this trailer aired and this was announced, I was in the middle of a work meeting, and I glanced at my phone and looked at some screenshots and was like, oh my God, I did not get a chance to watch the trailer until a little bit before we recorded.
Okay.
This looks incredible.
Oh man. Okay. I need to say that I'm pretty sure I successfully did not say New Super Mario Bros. Wonder once in any article referring to this, but I assure you that I typed it every single time. But they dropped the new moniker, and it has like
the animation
looks so good. It has a new like art style. Mario's like super expressive and cartoony and goofy looking, and like all of it's so like it. Like, we're fine. I saw some people commenting that between this and Mario RPG, which, like you said, is a little bit of an off model Mario, it feels like we're kind of sort of getting out of that really stringent Mario look era.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm so excited. Maybe the Mario movie has helped with that.
I would imagine so, honestly.
Like, it's this looks so good. And it's, and okay, you want to be hurt a little bit. It's not exactly, but there's a similar amount of time between this and the original release of New Super Mario Bros. U as there was between New Super Mario Bros. On DS and Super Mario World. It's get off by a couple of years, here. But it's get, like,
no.
It's,
no.
Think about it, Neil.
Oh, Jesus.
Think about it.
All right, so 88, so Mario 1, 86. Mario World, 90?
Yeah, it's off by a couple years. So we're looking at 90, it's,
yeah,
it's,
90
it's
to
not,
2005.
It's
you know what,
close.
I don't, that's not as haunting as the difference
I thought New Super Mario Bros. Was 2004. Was it 2005?
I think it's 05.
Okay, if you can hit that 15-year mark, that does feel better, because that's like a
yeah,
you know, a
yeah,
because
then New Super Mario Brothers U and this 2012 to 2023, so 11 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's, but still, it's like, it's not that far off. It's closer to that, like, it's closer to that than it is to the other.
I know that this is, you know, the whole, what is mainline Mario? It does get... it's just use Yoshi's Island as the demarcation there, and Yoshi's Island to New Super Mario Brothers DS is actually you're shorter than the difference between New Super Mario Brothers U and Super Mario Brothers Wonder.
Oof. Oh, hey, I was even more wrong than I thought. New Super Mario Bros. DS was 2006.
Really?
Yeah. That is a much later game than I thought.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I think it came out right
before
E3.
But the thought still counts. Point is, it's been a long time since the New Super Mario Bros. Series. And I'm
glad
it's dead.
Well, you could say, all right, let's look for the way to do this. So the difference between New Super Mario Bros. 1 and Wonder is 17 years.
Yeah.
Which is the difference between New Super Mario Bros. DS and Super Mario Bros. 3?
Oof.
Is that something like that?
That sounds right.
Maybe
yeah.
Maybe not exacta, but close.
Yeah.
It's something that I wrote down a long time ago. I think it was in 2020 when I did that feature on like what's going on with Samus and Metroid.
Yeah.
So the difference between Metroid Prime's original release and the original NES Metroid is 16 years. There was no Metroid Prime 4 announced here, putting any hope of a 2023 release into jeopardy, which means that the difference between Metroid Prime 3's release and Metroid Prime 4 will be longer than the difference between Metroid 1 and Metroid Prime 1.
Yay!
Time!
It hurts so good.
But you know what hurts so good? That Elephant Mario kicking the shit out of that Goomba.
I'm glad that that Mario has finally come to terms with
asshole.
And accepted the fact that he's a Republican. He's wearing it proud, and he's stomping on Goombas.
I hope Luigi turns into a donkey.
Into a donkey? That'd be amazing.
They each turn into a different animal.
Different, yeah.
What's like Jill Stein's party? Would that be Peach?
Yeah, is that the Green Party? Or was she... I remember.
Are there animals associated with third parties?
I want Peach to be like, I vote third party, and Mario and Luigi are like, you're throwing away your vote. And that's it's a weird Mario game. You know, it's bold.
Yoshi's a communist.
Yeah. Yoshi's apparently a playable character in this. I didn't notice that until I like saw the PR and then went back and watched the trailer again.
So it's weird because there's a point in the trailer where like Mario rides Yoshi, and then there's also a part that you can see that he's clearly
you're
being played
as Yoshi's. Yeah. So then the question is, can you play the level where you ride Yoshi as a Yoshi, and can Yoshi stack?
Oh my god, please.
How many, and if somebody's playing as a Yoshi,
like,
can you get on that Yoshi? How many Yoshis can you stack? What's the maximum
can
number
everybody
of Yoshis?
Carry each other?
Yes. I'm interested.
Like, this game looks very good. Like,
yeah. And unlike some other Mario things, has a release date in October. So like, you know, Look at that. 4 months out.
4 months away.
Like, it's like that Nintendo pattern we're always talking about.
So one, now that we've kind of reached that's the end of the direct, I got yeah. two overarching notes. Last week we talked about the Xbox press conference, and I was like, all I want is a roadmap. Do you know what Nintendo did in this direct?
Yeah,
clear roadmap. And I know that the difference in expectations between what Nintendo's yes. publishing versus what Xbox is publishing, that like they shouldn't be one-to-one. That's not fair. That it's their platforms are different entities, the companies are different entities. But just seeing Nintendo like now, so I mean, we already know about the game. I can't believe they didn't mention everybody's 1-2 Switch, whatever the fuck that's called.
Yeah, everyone's and by the way, Switch. All of you people that voted in my Twitter poll were wrong.
Say if it was going to get mentioned?
I just said, is it going to get mentioned in the direct? And it was like 75% of people said yes, and I was like, oh, sweet summer children.
Yeah, Nintendo did exactly like we know about, showed a little bit about the July game, Pikmin. Granted, there's nothing for August and September.
Yeah, they've got a hole in there, which is
but you do have like, we have their holiday lineup like laid out. Yeah. It is, we got Detective Pikachu Returns October 6th. We got 2 weeks later, Super Mario Brothers Wonder. 2 weeks after that, WarioWare Move It. 2 weeks after that, Super Mario RPG.
Do you think there's a September direct?
Yes.
Okay. I'm almost surprised we have Mario RPG already announced, but I guess in your logic of them wanting to get all of the Mario stuff out in front of everybody because of the movie, that kind of makes sense.
So I don't even know if this, like, because it is a thing, like that August to September gap is pretty sizable. And they don't even really have.
There's not the really Splatoon third DLC party isn't really filling that spot. Honestly,
Splatoon DLC I think might be an August September thing. Pokemon DLC, although what they said first batch of Pokemon DLC
fall and winter is what they say. Yeah.
So first batch of Pokemon DLC, I feel like September or October. That kind of makes sense for that.
Yeah, DLC is not a release.
I mean, they have used that to kind of fill in gaps.
I mean, they can
bit.
Say I, that like, yeah, it's not a especially. Yeah, I was going to say, especially like both of those games sold very well, despite being trash, not fit for human consumption, but like they sold very well. I'm sure the DLC will do fine.
I forget how Sword and Shield did it. I think Sword and Shield did the expansion pass release after both came out. I will say that specifically with Pokemon is an opportunity to sell the game again.
Right. Is there anybody who didn't buy it? I mean, Scarlet and Violet sold ridiculous numbers.
Yeah. But yeah, like August and September still seem kind of open.
Yeah.
That is a little
That's
bit
Metroid
of like,
Prime 2 and Metroid Prime 3, baby.
I mean, maybe it's Zelda time. Did we get Wind Waker finally?
They can't do more Zelda this year. That's a horrible idea.
Although I will say, after I think last year was when I was like, there has to be something else, and there just wasn't. Maybe there's not really anything in August and September. But I do think, well, maybe not exactly a September direct. Although we do know they have Nintendo Live in September. They'll be at PAX West. I mean, that is where Nintendo Live is. They're going to be at Gamescom. Like, there could be some kind of news there around there. But we have had that traditional September direct. And as is the case with Nintendo, everything is a pattern until it isn't.
Yep.
I just think there will be another somewhat general Nintendo direct before the end of the year. It seems like they are, as they are at the end of the Switch cycle, they have a pretty solid cadence that is working for them that honestly, I hope they keep this up as they go to the next console, where they are basically just like, hey, here's the next 4 months.
Yeah.
It is. We might have some things show up in between, but like they're like, we essentially know what to expect from now until December.
Yeah. Once again, like, you know, maybe it is just them getting all the Mario out in front of us, but the fact that they're reaching out into 2024 in June of 2023 makes me a little suspicious. And last year's September Direct was like one of the worst Nintendo Directs I can remember. So
well, that was a rough one. I think it's also because they don't like Splatoon.
Even if you do, like it was Splatoon and the logo for Pikmin.
Yeah.
Which I'm very excited for Pikmin, but it wasn't a good. And like the thing that's held September Directs recently has been this idea that like, oh, they've got to get people to resubscribe. We got to engage. NSO. That's fine. They don't seem to even be really like they didn't really push the NSO stuff last year. I think we're out of platforms to put up. Like they're not going to do a new platform. Because sorry guys, they're not going to do GameCube. Those games are 2 gigs a piece, and they're not going to put that on everybody's Switch. They're not going to put Mario RPG on NSO, so they're running out of their big games that everybody wants.
I'm looking at the Nintendo Direct thing. It's on Nintendo Switch Sports Ads Golf, and I'm like, they actually did that.
Did they? Yes, they did.
They did.
Yeah.
I mean, like this. Yeah, the September Direct. Kirby's Return to it just wasn't a sexy one. Return to Dreamland was. I think that was a decent showing of a great game, and they were revealing it. Rain Code, which is, I mean, that comes out soon. That's not for us, but that's a cool announcement. Octopath 2 was there, Theater Rhythm was there.
Was known too, like not all that stuff was new announcements.
Theater Rhythm and Octopath were both new.
Yeah.
But yeah, this was and we got the Zelda release date.
I mean, that's fine. It's everything in that. I kind of am wondering if right now they sort of have this like 3 general direct structure of something in January, February, something in June, and something in September. I almost wonder if their release schedule fits better with like a 2 direct schedule of something in January and something in like July.
Yeah.
I don't know that they quite have the releases to support that third direct. I think if you took this stuff from last year's September Direct and put it and sprinkled it between the other two, I think that plays better. I think September on its own, because by then you've already, your big stuff that needed that long lead time has already been announced. The biggest stuff you have isn't coming out before Christmas. Like it's kind of a, I just don't feel like you need it.
So
but they could prove me wrong.
Yeah. I mean, it's the kind of thing where I think if you look about the necessities for something before the end of the year, you do have that roadmap for the first half of 2024, which, I mean, we have, that Peach game feels like more of like a holiday 2024 game, or maybe a summer if we are getting new hardware.
Yeah, that's definitely
next
not
year.
January. Yeah.
Luigi's Mansion Dark Moon, you know, when Luigi's Mansion Dark Moon came out, I think it'll be 11 years next February. That sounds like a good time to put out Luigi's Mansion Dark Moon on Switch.
Yeah, that could totally be there at the beginning of the year.
That is, it's the kind of thing.
We might have to get through 2 more Metroid Prime games before they release Metroid Prime 4.
I do, like, if I am of the belief that I think Metroid Prime 4 comes out first half of 2024.
I agree.
If that does happen, I think we need to find out about that in 2023.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it depends on when it, if it's coming out in June of 2024, then I think you can do it in January Direct. But it could also be their February game. Like,
you know what actually is probably a good place to re-reveal, or I guess just reveal.
Are you gonna say the Game Awards?
Yeah.
Ugh. Let it die. Kill it if you have to. Kill it. Eh. But.
It is more, I mean, I'm more just thinking about this from like Paul Marketer point of view, that I think the Game Awards might a lot, like, I think you'll generate a lot of buzz and excitement. And if you are looking at it from the perspective of maybe they don't have enough to support a strong September or, you know,
oh, sure. You
Q4
put your one
Nintendo
thing.
Direct. you know, if you are doing Dark, I mean, you could even do Luigi's Mansion Dark Moon getting a date in the Game Awards too. I think those would both be things that would like hit well there. But I think we're going to get something before the end of the year, but I do share your trepidation that there's a chance that after the two directs that we've had this year have been very good, that one in the back half of the year might not be that good.
Yeah. And you know, maybe, I mean, they could, they're real good at, like, I mean, going into this direct, we had heard rumors of a Super Nintendo remake, and I believe and everybody was Mario. Like, it ain't gonna be Mario RPG, that's for sure.
Yeah.
So like they can still totally surprise us with stuff we didn't know existed. So they can show up in September and be like, yep, here's F-Zero W Y or two other random letters.
What were some of the other there is that F-Zero rumor.
Kid Icarus was another rumor that's been floating around for a long time. I believe there is a Kid Icarus thing going on.
Those could be things that you could throw out in a September direct, maybe.
Yeah,
have one Kid Icarus Uprising remaster Shadow Drops in September, because they do.
Great.
There is a thing that they've been doing this year, which is remastering a GameCube game and shadow dropping it, releasing it physically 2 weeks later.
Yeah, well, I think they did that with Metroid, and they were like, can we do that again with Pikmin? And they're like, well, we haven't remastered Pikmin. And they're like, well, can you just put the GameCube games on a cartridge? And they were like, we can do that. Yeah, okay, well, let's do that then. Because those are the ROMs running on the Switch.
Well, I think they're, the Wii version, right?
That's true. So it's the widescreen ROMs.
Yeah.
10 points. Yeah. Yeah. So that's, I mean, they chose the right version.
But oh baby, Super Mario Brothers Wonder.
Yes. Super excited.
So good.
It's nice to have enough time between 2D Marios that you can actually be excited about them. And not be in that Wii U era of like, please stop. He's already dead.
So John, do we want to do it? That is the $1 million question to end this episode.
Do we want to do what?
The Super Mario Brothers 2D game club.
Oh, yeah. Are we talking? Okay. Where's the line? Like, is Yoshi's Island in there? And then is Yoshi's Story? In there? Like, where's the?
Well, in the Yoshi's Island case, I don't want to play bad games. So,
Okay, cool. As long as we're in agreement.
Let's map it out. Because we are currently between game clubs. Well, I guess we'll do a Tears of the Kingdom spoiler cast when I finish it in 3 years.
If any of you ever beat it, yeah.
Yeah. Has Matt not beaten it yet?
I don't think so. I have one. My boss at work has finished it. And I think that's the only other person I know who's rolled credits.
I know a couple people that have rolled credits.
Okay. Well, they can come on my spoiler cast and you can stay off.
Yeah, it is the kind of thing, and I think I talked about this in the NWR Discord, join us for discussion there, where it's like, I know they're not going to make one of these for another, like, I'm not getting another Zelda game for 5-6 years. I have found that this is an extremely good game to drop in and drop out of.
Yes.
Agreed. I still have not, I mentioned in the Discord, and I still have not moved in a week of... I'm literally at a sky tower about to launch through it because I know I'll launch through that and then just have a bunch of shit to do. It is just like, I don't want to rush. And some of it's also, I've just been playing an absolute ass load of Super Mega Baseball 4. It's a very good video game. But I'm just not in a rush with Zelda. Maybe I'll beat it before Pikmin 4. I don't know. I don't care. I'm going to play it how I want to play it.
Yeah.
You know what I had a great time with? Playing Xenoblade 3 over the course of 9 months.
You did eventually finish it.
That rocked. And that was, that was a little bit of like a proof for like, oh, I could do the same thing with Zelda, where I just, you know, put it like with Xenoblade 3, I think I put it to the side to play Mario and Rabbids, to finish Pokemon. And it was a very easy game. Like, I would always like get to a point where I'm like, okay, I'm going to come in and have a cutscene and that will put the story forward. I will save here. And I would have to, oftentimes when I come back to that game, I would have to be like, who's who again?
Yeah.
But it wasn't that, like, I would usually try to put myself into positions where I'm like, oh no, it'll be easy to drop back in.
Let's do it. 2D Mario Game Club.
Yeah, we'll map it out, talk about it,
decide what the rules are,
come up with the schedule. I think Matt has to be a part of it, as I think he put that curse on himself. We didn't force him to do it.
Being in all the game clubs?
Yeah. Yeah, I think he just said, he's like, I will do this. And it's like, no one's forcing you to, man.
I believe he did just blanket agree to, why are we doing easy stuff then? What does Matt hate? What's Matt's least favorite? Why aren't I forcing you guys through Darksiders games? Like, why are we playing Mario?
I'll be real. Like, yo, the Darksiders thing, Zach, I don't know if you listened to Connectivity. This is your chance.
Yeah.
Do it. Because, like, if you and Zach were to be like, we're playing Darksiders game, I'm in. Like,
yeah.
I think only one I don't own is 3. And for the purposes of a bit, I would definitely buy 3.
Yeah.
And I just, yeah, I forget if I finished 1 or not. I think I've said this before, Darksiders 1 is a game that, like, 10 years ago, I was kind of blah about, and I think if I played it now, I would like it a lot more.
Yeah.
2 was neat. Played around with that a long time ago. 3 I've never played. Origins, I played a little bit. Genesis is a game that I played a little bit on Game Pass, and I wound up picking it up on sale on Switch and have yet to play it on Switch. But it was good. Yeah, I've liked that developer a whole lot.
Yeah.
But yeah,
right.
2D Mario Game Club. We will map it out. Get ready, folks. We'll probably make a Discord channel. And maybe
and
we'll
then we won't start. Actually do it, and it'll be a April Fool's episode in 2024.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. We're just trying to give you guys material.
Alex.
Yeah.
All right.
I think that's going to be it. If you want to send us in any listener mail about the Direct, send it into connectivity@nintendoworldreport.com. Also, if you hear this before probably Wednesday, June 28th in the evening, then send in some listener mail if you have any questions to ask about Summer Games Fest, or at least like the in-person experience. We're going to have Alex Arona and Joel DeWitt, who went to Summer Games Fest for NWR. Went out to LA, hobnobbed with the Keeley.
Did not take the shot, though. Very disappointed that we'll have to be talking to them about that.
But we're going to talk about their experiences with it, what they played, how it was. I'm very curious, just because it seemed like it was not E3. It seemed like it was a weird, unique press event experience. And it was also like their kind of first major one. So that should be a fun episode. If you have any questions about that, send that in and we can ask them about it. But thank you very much for listening. Oh my god, Mario. Super Mario RPG and Super Mario Brothers Wonder. Let's go!
Yay!
Bye.
Bye.
This episode of Connectivity is brought to you by our supporters on Patreon and by Wongo Puzzles. Are you tired of the same old boring puzzles? Mix things up with Wongo Puzzles. Each puzzle is a custom design with intricate patterns and whimsical shapes that will keep you engaged for hours. Plus, their eco-friendly materials and commitment to sustainability make Wongo Puzzles a guilt-free way to unwind. They are 100% wooden puzzles. They'll last forever. Each piece is hand-drawn, so no two pieces are the same, and you'll discover some fun, whimsy pieces as you work through it. They come in a custom wooden box, which is perfect for storage and gifting. With stunning designs and unique shapes, Wongo Puzzles are a cut above the rest. So what are you waiting for? Go to wongopuzzles.com and pick your puzzle today, and be sure to use the promo code CONNECTIVITY to get 10% off your order. This is the most fun you've had with a puzzle, guaranteed, or your money back. Go to WONGOPuzzles.com and use the code CONNECTIVITY to get 10% off your order and get puzzling right now.